Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC fans, and welcome to Who's Talking. It is a chilly night out there, Hobbo.
It is chilly, sort of like the Virginia shooting percentage, a little chilly.
Might be chilly in Pittsburgh, too, because the Steelers have gone home.
I know. It was a bad weekend for Hobbo. I've gone back to politics.
All right.
I'm off of sports. I'm back into politics now.
My Green Bay Packers lost, but I tell you what.
Aaron Rodgers had a big play at the end.
I tell you what. He is the man. All right. Let's talk UVA basketball with none other than our in-studio guest, Terrence Gates, who somehow found Charlottesville back in the day. I guess you transferred from what school, Stetson?
Mad Hatter.
I tell you what, how you even found Stetson is a tricky thing to me, but we're glad that you made it to Charlottesville. We had a great time in Charlottesville, the best years of the UVA basketball program. And
would you like to describe some of your off-court activities with Mr. Gates?
I don't think
this
that would be.
This is a family show.
This is G-rated. We're gonna stick to it.
I don't know about you guys. I was a gentleman.
So. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's right. Hey, on my honor as a gentleman.
Terry and the Mannequins. Yeah, all right, we won't tell that story. All right. Oh, we just lost Hobbo. We had a meltdown.
All getting right. All choked up here.
All right, crazy week this week for the Cavaliers. A good win. I believe it was it Tuesday night they beat Miami?
Yeah.
I was there, and it seems like a long time ago. But they beat a good Miami team that was on a roll and traded the lead back and forth at times during the second half. And then the Wahoos managed to pull away, and they made their free throws and converted some big plays and really felt like Virginia got those road issues settled, and they got their found their rhythm a little bit. And then Tony Bennett apparently kind of ripped the team post game. I think that was not a joyful post game speech based upon all the reports. And then they go on the road after several days of practice at home. They go on the road to Tallahassee, and they pretty much laid a gigantic egg in the second half where they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, and on a team that I thought would be very good shooting team, all of a sudden Tony Bennett is gone four straight games with four different starting lineups, and to me it's the most puzzling thing, and I'm going to let the two former ball players argue this, but Terry and Hobbo, what the heck is going on?
A lot. Or a lot's not going on. I mean, it's. I don't know if they're resting on the laurels. I can't think that's it. But I think they had very high expectations. They were ranked very high preseason. They had some good games early. I think some things came to them early, and now they're in a rut. And I think the rules changes hasn't benefited them. Hadn't been helpful to their pack line defense. I think they're missing some personalities from last year, the last couple of years. This impending progress rule does not bode well for them. I thought having five less seconds on the shot clock would make it easier for them to play defense and help the offense, but it really hasn't happened. They've got a lot of issues we could talk about, but you tell me what you...
Well, the funny thing is you look at Justin Anderson and Darian Atkins and what they brought to the table. Obviously, Darian Atkins was a tremendous defender around the rim, covered for some mistakes that were made on dribble penetration, things like that. And Justin Anderson, not only was he a contributor on the offensive end and from the perimeter, but he was also a guy that could erase mistakes and make spectacular plays on the defensive end. So it clearly the two of those guys, they missed them more than maybe we expected.
You're right on. I think you when you talk about teams, NBA teams, they talk about do they have a guy in the middle that can protect the rim? And that was Darius last year. That was Justin. That was Akil Mitchell the year before. They don't have that. So you don't have a guy coming across the lane that's going to block a shot that the other teams have to worry about. And that's tough. I also think toughness is in that equation too. I think, you know, your two best athletes last year would have been Justin and maybe Darius Atkins. So that, and I think Justin gave him a spark. He gave him a personality that you look at that team sometimes, it's like, wow, I mean, are they alive?
And maybe you could speak to this too. To me, they lack leadership to some extent. You know, I think Gill and Brogdon are both fifth-year seniors, but they're not real gung-ho leadership type
guys.
Well,
they're strong, maybe strong, silent type leaders, which they let their actions speak for, you know, their effort. But there's certainly no loud, vocal individual in the court the way Darian Atkins was last year.
Right.
You could hear Atkins in the whole arena. And maybe they're chasing chemistry too, right?
I think that's a big part of it. Whenever you shuffle the deck like that and you take bits and pieces out and you put new pieces in, you got players now that have to be wondering. I know this my last year where I was going to start. I wasn't going to start. What happens? You win 20-some-odd games in a row, and you're not playing a whole lot. They're not messing with success. So you got guys from Evan Nolte at the end of the bench. You know, what is his job? He's supposed to be a shooter. He's not shooting sometimes. He was 0 for 4 against Florida State. He's not the reason they lost. But Darius Thompson, a great athlete, a great player. But where does he fit in when you have Perantes and Malcolm Brogdon? You know,
they missed a couple of close-in layups in the second half. And in a situation where you're down 5 or 7, those are buckets that you have to have. A couple of times, Isaiah Wilkins, I thought he should have just dunked the ball. You know, don't be finesse when you can go up and dunk it. But, and then the other thing.
And the same is true of when you say that Anthony Gill. Now, granted, he has a very high shooting percentage. It's like hovering around 60%. So I'm nitpicking a little bit. But a lot of times it almost looks like he goes up and he's trying to draw the foul and then convert the three-point play instead shooting the ball and let the chips fall where they may.
Let's go. Right? Everyone thinks he's a great athlete. He's a good jumper. He's got great hands. He's strong. Being 6'8" doesn't guarantee you anything when you're playing with guys 6'9", 6'10", and athletes that are equal to or better than you are. It's the first one to the rim can block the shot or score. So he works way, way too hard to go 5 for 8 and score 13 points. He's a great inside player, but he doesn't overpower people. He's more of a finesse guy inside, and that's the problem. Who's next to him? Toby's not a finesse players when they're in there. Jack Salt's night. You put Wilkins in, he's 6'7". I mean, they're going to have problems when you have like Florida State. I mean, they only had one big on the time on the floor at times, but they got a couple 7-footers, 3 7-footers.
Yeah, they got a lot of big guys.
That can swatch. I mean, they don't have to jump very high to get up to 10.5 feet.
But then the other thing that's probably driving Coach Bennett crazy is Florida State shoots 63% in the second half. You know, you're going to win a lot of games if you shoot 63%, and Virginia's not used to giving up that kind of field goal percentage.
And And I studied the three losses, the statistics in those games, and went back and reviewed video. There was some interesting common denominator there, and that was in those games, the losses at Tech, at Georgia Tech, and Florida State, granted, they're all road games, free throws attempted. Down at Florida State, there was a 9-shot differential. Florida State got 9 more free throw attempts. That's the game right there. The game in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech got 8 more free throws. And in those...
Well, some of that is fouls at the end of the game.
I understand, but I'm just saying that's a differential. Now, it's interesting, against Georgia Tech, Virginia had 4 extra free throws, more so than Georgia Tech. One of the things Virginia has done over the last 2.5 years, in my opinion, has been the fact that they possess the ball so well, and they move the ball so well on the perimeter, and then when they go to the in-out game, passing it into the post and then kicking it back out, they make it very hard for other teams not to commit fouls. Somehow this year, teams are avoiding those fouls, even with the freedom of movement rules, and that's why I think Mike Toby has got to be in the game, because they've got to go to that more often to take pressure off of Gill and sub in Salt. If you want a bruiser for a few plays, bring in Salt, bring in Reuter.
Interesting thing is, if you're going to let teams shoot 63%, you better have Toby on the floor, because you're going to have to be more effective offensively to win.
Right.
Which is a real challenge for Coach Bennett, because I know he wants to be defense first. But the question I'd ask Terry, this team is, we were talking before we went on air, 5 true road games. They've lost 4 of them, including the 2 at Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, where they were ranked 4th. You know, go back when you were playing, obviously you were number 1 in the country. You were the big game on everybody's schedule. And I think, you know, as a player, when you go on the road, you have that target on your back. You have to have the focus and the passion to be able to win those games. And I just haven't seen Virginia do that on the road yet.
Well, you need a good start. And they haven't gotten in those 3 losses. They have gotten horrific starts on the offensive end.
I agree with that.
Your goal when you're playing at a Clemson in a day or whatever, even though they had Larry Nash, if you get up early, if you get the ball in the rough, if you get in the lamp, you do what you're supposed to do early, get good shots, and get them down. and keep them down and finish halves the right way, you know, you might get a road win and kind of a night off where you're not nail biting down the stretch shooting free throws and all that. But you know, they've been behind. They've gotten off a very, very slow start. You've got some games here with, you know, Brogdon might have 2 points with 2 minutes to go in the first half. There is no higher equation in math in any calculus course up in Charlottesville where they're going to win a basketball game when Malcolm Brogdon has 2 points with 2 minutes to go in the first half.
Or if he goes 4-17 like he did last night.
You know.
And for that matter, Parentes, who's really a distributor first, scorer second, Bennett is leaning on him to provide more scoring, and I don't think that's helping the team at all. I think Parentes' natural...
Well, somebody's got to score.
But his but listen, Parentes' natural instinct...
Oh, I know. He's a pass-first guy.
And he makes everybody play better. You got to live and die with the fact that the other guys that are supposed to be your scorers, you got to tell them, you're going to be the option to score, so go get me some points.
Well, I mean, to me... The offense has looked very pedestrian at times. There's so much dribbling going on against Florida State last night. I mean, it was just dribble, 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 and all of a sudden they reset it with 10 seconds to go. You put no pressure on the defense. You haven't gotten the ball into the post. You know, Frank was saying they played a very bad second half. Well, they played a really bad first half. Then they hit two threes in a row, and they score 8 points in a row to get out of maybe a 20, it might have been 20-20 tie. They score 8 straight points on 2 threes, and I think who had the other one wrote it down. It was, I don't know, Brogdon hit a 3, Parentes hit a 3, and Toby hit a 2, and then they give up that 3 at the end of the half. But, I mean, there's no pecking order out there. I mean, they're going to gang up on Brogdon, not let him get to the hoop, harass a shot. They can put a bigger guy on, let Gil score 15 points. He's going to work really, really hard to score 15. But where's the fourth and fifth score in there?
That's the key.
They're in one.
That's why I think Toby probably needs more minutes. I you know, defense notwithstanding, and I realize Tony, with Gil and Toby on the floor at the same time, they're not as strong inside on defense. But I think the way teams, you know, you're right. Gil's going to get his 10 to 15 most nights. Parentes is going to have to look for his shot more, and Brogdon, and teams are really trying to shut him down. And certainly if I'm playing Brogdon, I'm going to make him shoot from the perimeter and try to take the drive away from him, because a lot of his game is trying to take the ball to the rim, either make the layup, get fouled, go to the free throw line. And, you know, the one thing about the ACC, nobody has any secrets. Everybody knows your strength and weakness. And I think that's hurt Virginia in recent games.
Oh, man, it's a blueprint how to play him. I mean, like I said, you gang up on Brogdon, make him work really hard. How many shots in the last 2 or 3 weeks and you've seen him shoot from the perimeter and come up short, hit the rim and fall straight down, not past the rim, but in front of the rim? And Parentes is just trying to figure, you know, he had an operation there, appendicitis, all that good stuff, appendectomy. You know, he's trying to figure out. That's, as Frank said, that's not his natural thing to do, a score, but – he needs to do that. So who's running the offense? You got Hall doing it right now, not doing a bad job. He had 6 points in the first half, but in the second half, zero.
Now, is it possible that the early non-conference schedule burned him out a little bit going into the ACC, or is that not an issue?
I mean, these kids play basketball.
They should be good to go.
I mean, if they weren't playing over Christmas break, you know, if they were at home, they might be playing in a gym somewhere. So yeah, they're pretty rested, and these guys are in shape. It's now it's a pecking order. Who's supposed to do what? And to me, that's all important. What happened a couple years ago at Tennessee when they got beat by 30? What did Bennett do? Went down about 6 or 7 kids. Now, I think you might see that here shortly.
Well, one thing's for certain. I think he's got to trust his veterans. And judging by his press conference today at JPJ, it was pretty obvious that he was uncomfortable. Tony Bennett was not acting like himself, and he wasn't acting like himself, I thought, after his presser last night post-game. I think he's trying to solve some things. And, you know, listen, he's a sharp guy. He's got to be one of the sharpest coaches in the country. But he and Brad Soderberg and Jason Williford and the rest of those guys, they have got to figure out who are those 7 or 8 guys, and they need to tell those guys, you're going to play, don't look over your shoulder, get down there, get the rebound, make your basket, help your teammate, and for God's sakes, get out there on the perimeter and guard the 3 ball. That three ball they gave up just for half is BS. I'm telling you flat out. Everybody on the Virginia bench almost threw something at their teammates. I mean, that was they didn't inbound the ball in time, so they gave up a possession, so they didn't even get a shot. And then, you know, all right, hey, we got to jump to break here. We're going to come back on the other side with more with Terry, and we're going to ask him some hard questions. So stay with us. This is Who's Talking.